And you'll see them all lined up right here in these verses. Look at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. There's gospel, salvation, doctrine upon doctrine. And it's all just lined up for us. These are the things that endure. If you are without blame, then you're faultless before God. If you're made holy, then there's no accusation, no condemnation. If you are before God in love, what a satisfaction comes into the soul.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and it is always a joy to bring the message of God's Word to you. We're turning to part two of our message on Jesus giving meat that never perishes. And of course, that speaks for itself, that it is spiritual food. It is the eternal life and those things that will never perish. So stay tuned as we let the Bible speak today.
Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And of course, the Father spoke from heaven about his Son. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The divine nature is stamped upon the very life, the ministry of the Lord Jesus. His miracles tell us that he's no mere man. And after feeding the 5,000, these multitudes are stirred up. Now, many use religion and Christianity for their material needs, but never enjoy a morsel of gospel satisfaction for their souls. And I have to search my heart on this. Am I a professional preacher? Am I a minister of the gospel because somehow I got into this vocation or this discipline of life? And there are certain things that I need to do and responsibilities I have, and I must fulfill them as a minister of the gospel. And is that it? Or can I say that I personally, by faith, by living experience, look unto the Lord Jesus as my Savior, the satisfaction of my soul. And I'm to labor for the meat, not the meat that perisheth, but the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. I am to seek that with all my heart. Do you? Are you interested, striving? I'm using the word labor here. The word labor means energy, exertion. It means striving and longing to fulfill. Are you doing that? As you come to God's house today, of course, you are striving. You are laboring. You are making an effort that you will hear the gospel, that you will attend this communion service, that you will take that bread in your hand and the cup in your hand, and you join it with your earnest heart's cry, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting in your blood, I'm trusting in your crosswork, I'm trusting in your grace to meet the needs of my soul. That's the labor that is mentioned right here. I'm satisfied with that he has come from heaven. I'm satisfied with Jesus' perfect life. And of course, we could scan the Savior's life from boyhood all the way to the cross, and we consider the obedience of our Lord Jesus. And it is his obedience, fulfilling the law, fulfilling all righteousness, that brings to you and me satisfaction that it is well with our souls because Christ took our place. He did the work that we should have done. He earned salvation and gives us his perfect obedience or righteousness to our account. And it's enough. It has satisfied the law of God. God the Father has accepted the life of the Lord Jesus, and his obedience now becomes mine. And there you find your satisfaction. Some people talk about religion being on a journey. The Christian's not on a journey. The born-again, blood-washed Christian has been to the cross. Yes, there may have been a journey to that point. There may have been something that brought you under conviction, that opened your eyes, that made you to see that Christ is real and Christ is for you. But when you came to the cross, salvation came to your soul. Peace is pronounced. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus becomes yours. You are not here today to seek peace. You are here to enjoy the peace that the Lord Jesus has purchased for you by his death and by his cross. And of course, we're satisfied with the sacrifice that Christ made at the cross. When he cried out, "It is finished," we add our amen. We take our stand right there. Christ said, "It's finished." God the Father has now raised up his Son, accepting his death. It's done. All payment, all judgment, all the wrath of God is over. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so I'm satisfied by the sacrifice, the atoning work of the Lord Jesus. Now you've got to answer the question, is it enough for you? And as you take that cup and bread, you are saying in heart, that's all I want. That's all my hope, all my confidence is in the blood work, the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. And therefore you are finding rest for your soul. No more work for salvation. No more work to have peace with God. Christ did the work in his death upon the cross. I'm also satisfied with the promises of his grace. I have found out that when the Lord makes a promise of salvation to his people, that it's never a standalone single promise, but it is like the pearls on a necklace. They're all strung together in a beautiful string of pearls. And if I have Christ and if I have his salvation by the blood, I have every spiritual gift in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me turn you to Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Here you'll find the Apostle Paul. He is writing this epistle to the Ephesian Christians, and he is starting out here with a doxology. You'll find in the writings of the Apostle Paul many such doxologies where he is writing about certain gospel truths and he bursts out into praise. This is praise writing. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, can you see that his heart is bursting? He's got such a thrill in his soul. There's such a satisfaction in the knowledge of what the Lord has done for him that he is just pouring out his praises in these verses. Does your heart burst like that? Does your soul find its thrill in these things? Now, obviously here, Paul the Apostle is not laboring for the meat that perisheth. He's not going after the material. And he's certainly not like those who sought the Lord only for the loaves and the fishes. But the Apostle was after the good stuff, the spiritual, the eternal, the things that endure. And you'll see them all lined up right here in these verses. Look at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. There's gospel, salvation, doctrine upon doctrine. And it's all just lined up for us. These are the things that endure. If you are without blame, then you're faultless before God. If you're made holy, then there's no accusation, no condemnation. If you are before God in love, what a satisfaction comes into the soul. And so the question then is, are you seeking the good stuff? I'm saying it that way to make you think. It's kind of a raw language for a preacher to use, seeking the good stuff. You see, the bad stuff is the material. The bad stuff, the things are going to burn up. The things that are going to turn to dust, that will not stand eternity. The good stuff is the stuff that will endure. Is your heart fixed in the eternal and in the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus? Now we sing these hymns which stir our hearts. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. That's hymn 489 in our hymn book. Just the thrill of entering into all the grace, all the fullness, all the satisfaction that is in the Lord Jesus. Now, this is not airy-fairy mysterious jump in the dark faith. This is to lay hold of what Christ has done and all the blessings that he has secured, and we are claiming them. Or we think of the hymn we sing, "More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee." There is the satisfied believer learning, finding, enjoying the sweetness that the Savior brings into your soul. Are you laboring for that in prayer? Are you making efforts to enjoy that? You see, this gospel is not for the lazy person. It's not to the prayerless. It's not to the heedless who will not listen to the Savior's voice. But it is to those who seek, and they shall find. They knock, and it shall be opened to them. And we find that satisfaction. There's also here in verse 27 an invitation as the giver of satisfaction, which the Son of Man shall give you. There is no other giver like that. No man can give life to dead souls. But of course the Lord gives, and he gives, and he giveth again. In verse 28, you have the Lord's word of direction to receive this satisfaction. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." It's not works, it's faith. It's believing. It is faith in the Son of God that's required. An unbelieving heart is a wicked thing. It cannot receive the blessing. It cannot find satisfaction. And that is the greatest sin that we can ever commit, is to doubt, question, and fail to accept. And of course, the wicked live in that land of no peace. They are like the raging sea, the waves that foam and stir. There is no peace to the wicked. But here there is the invitation and the instruction to find peace in the Lord. And the answer is right here today. The Lord invites you to be at peace with him, as he is the bread of life. Do you hear that voice in your soul? Let me take time just to apply this. We have learned that material things do not satisfy. Riches, fame, money, houses, lands, drugs, alcohol, the pleasures of this world for a season, those things fail to satisfy. But for the Christian, all the grounds, the basis of our satisfaction is Jesus himself. He came from heaven. He lived the life we should have lived. He went to the cross and died the death that we should have died. His blood has purchased eternal peace with God. We are reconciled. We have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This now becomes our solid ground of hope. And we draw from the Lord continually this grace to our own souls. And so we have here this exhortation: come, believe, labor for the meat that endureth, and enter in. Now, as we come to the communion table, and as you take this cup and bread today, you are saying, "I am feeding on the living bread. I am trusting in the Redeemer's work. Not myself, not my works, but the finished work of the Savior. And his grace is all for me." That's the transaction that you are taking as you take the cup and bread. Now, if you said, "I can't believe this," What is this? Then you ought not to take this cup and bread. But with faith, and that's how the Lord puts it here, believe on him whom he hath sent. And then you take and eat, and you do so to praise the Lord.
Well, it's time for another pastoral talk. I'm back to visit, and I hope you are finding your strength in the Lord as you deal with so many health issues along with the troubles they have brought into your life. It's natural to hate pain and the isolation that sickness and suffering brings. Today, I want to share with you the case of Job, that all-time renowned sufferer who stands out in the Bible as a model of patience in suffering. Poor Job went through such a roller coaster of problems, one after another. He was reduced from being a wealthy, powerful family man to a lonely, suffering soul, sitting in dust and ashes with a body full of sores. But, surprisingly, the greatest pain Job felt were the cruel accusations of his miserable comforters, who had the idealistic and simplistic view that good men do not suffer, and that bad things happen only to bad people. They didn't seem to realize that bad things can happen to good people. Thus, they concluded that Job had somehow sinned in secret and was not the pious man he professed to be. All of these thoughts arise in our hearts also when we go through deep periods of illness and suffering. Sometimes our worst accuser and our harshest critic is ourselves. We start questioning and quizzing, thinking that God is punishing us for doing something wrong. When we are so accused, it is vital to know that Job's so-called comforters were all wrong in their conclusions about Job. God had said Job was upright, and he was. What his friends stated about trouble arising from hypocrisy and Job leading a double life was all wrong, for it didn't apply to Job at all. Poor Job endured the pain of his illness and the grilling of his friends, who tormented him with a series of undeniable truths, but they had no application to Job, yet they forced the application upon him. Only time vindicated him as a true man, and his time of suffering worked to make him a better man. Someone said Job is the story of God making a good man even better. If we know that God is doing so with us, then suffering will be so much easier to bear, for it will have a purpose, and the outcome will glorify the Lord. On the other hand, where sin does reign in our hearts and sin has brought us into a place of hardship, we need to confess it and plead the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. We know that bad things happen to bad people as God's way of getting their attention. The worst possible thing that can happen to a bad person is for them to prosper, thinking that their evil doesn't matter, or that God is oblivious to his or her sin. If God has gotten your attention through this time of suffering, then it is time to repent of sin and turn unto the Lord for mercy. It is wise advice that when you do examine your heart and life for any sin that has offended God, that you don't stop the examination process until you take that sin to the cross of Christ for cleansing. Where sin is the problem, you must apply the remedy of the gospel. You need to turn to the good news that Christ died for sinners to save them from God's judgment for their sin. It is the message that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, and it's at the cross of Calvary where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. For example, The Lord said through Isaiah, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You must lay hold on this gospel offer of complete cleansing from sin through the power of Jesus' blood. He died to save his people. Faith in his blood will justify you or clear you from all guilt of sin. We learn that in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. I end with the advice of Reverend Robert McSheehan. For every one look to self, take 10 looks to Christ. If you can do that, especially in times of suffering, you will be delivered from every accusation against you. So let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the remedy of the gospel for sin. We thank thee for the blood of Jesus, that it cleanseth us from all sin. Whatever your child is going through in this time of suffering, I thank thee he or she is not suffering for sin, because Jesus suffered all that was required when he died on the cross, and the blood of Jesus sets us free from sin's consequences. O Lord, send the Holy Spirit to quicken these gospel remedies to troubled hearts. When I tend to be troubled with so many negative thoughts, remind me again and again of what it means to be under the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. Help me to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Let the Apostle Paul's great statement, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus," Romans 8, verse 1. Father, stop every false accusation saying that you are against us when we know that you are for us. Lord, give your child stronger faith in the gospel, so you may cause the peace of your love to flow in his or her heart. I ask this in the wonderful name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.